last week on Jack Unmasked.
In Boston, theory there was you got a hit. In Montreal, they go out and their theory was skate, skate, skate. Remember Fergie going all the way across the ice and hitting Hull with his elbow in the mouth and really cut him bad. Glenn Hull, he was hired to coach me. He used to come down after every period and sit in the dressing room and sit beside me. Sandy's theory was one man at forecheck and two men back. Right now, you've got 1 point.
1968, the Chicago riots.
The National Guard were all sleeping in the Chicago Stadium. 5,000 to 10,000 people sitting in the seats, all cheering. Just like, hey, ho, ho, ooh, ho. And so when practice started, like it was like a game, for goodness sake. I would think the National Guard were probably in there for a week. I know the games were all canceled at that time. It was pretty serious business there. I was a skinny kid from Delisle, Saskatchewan. I never knew of things like that happen. I felt pretty safe when they were all there. They all had big rifles and everything else.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Delisle. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Last week we talked about the riots, right?
Yep.
Actually, I had a lot of people, they never heard about it, and they're pretty fascinated with it, but I also had just as much feedback about what the coaches said.
Oh, was that right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
I had a lot of people walk up to me and say, I've never thought about that you've got 1 point in the bank before you start a game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've always known that. We've always been told that.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they teach you, say, look, boys, we got 1 point right now.
Well, you know, especially if you're a middle of the pack team or closer to the bottom, you have to have that mentality.
Yeah.
If you're like the Edmonton Oilers of the 1980s, yeah, you don't think that way. But if you're if you're playing the Edmonton Oilers, you are.
That's right.
So I had actually a lot of feedback on that, and it was pretty interesting.
A lot of coaches can use that, you know, that are coaching kids can say, look, guys, we've got 1 point right now without even dropping the puck.
That's right.
You know, so
yeah.
And they'll think, oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't give these guys anything. And you know what? You'll get in their heads and who knows, maybe the momentum goes your way and get a chance to win it. So,
yeah.
No, that's good. So last week, or at the end of the show, we alluded to that you and Bobby Hull, for some reason, even though Bobby Hull's a Hall of Famer and he's got 600 and some goals and a ton of assists and Stanley Cups, and I think he's ranked number 6, I believe, on the top 100 of all time. You and Bobby Hull actually have a pretty unique friendship and bond for some reason, don't you?
Yeah, over the years, we had a few episodes that have happened, and we've never forgotten each other since, and it just kind of goes on. Every time he's in town, I hope to see him and try to see him, and usually works out. He's pretty friendly, and we talk and usually go for a drink after and stuff like that, and it's quite a relationship we have.
Yeah, so for some reason, Bobby Hull remembers you quite vividly. You were playing an exhibition game for the Boston Bruins in London. I'm not sure what year it was. You'd have been 19, 20 years old. Why don't you tell us about the game in London, what it was like and what happened?
Well, training camp was on for a week. I was with the Bruins, and it was really nice weather. And that's where we had training camp, was right in the London, Ontario rink. And it was not a huge rink. It was about 5,000-6,000 seats, maybe a few more, but it was brand new, like I said, and Chicago was supposed to come in and play us and exhibition games. Anyway, they told me that I was going to start the game and when the Hawks come in, but we were skating out for the warm-ups, skating around, and it gets a little bit foggy on the ice, you know, but not too bad, just a little bit of fog settling in because the people were almost all there in their seats and ready to watch and found out they didn't have proper circulation in the rink and they didn't. The humidity wouldn't lift and get out of there, so it just sort of sat on the ice like a fog.
Have you ever seen that anywhere else before?
Never. No, I never have ever gone through that before. And so it was a real experience for me to be in the net, and this is happening. And then, so anyway, the game started, got foggy within. Usually there was the whistle within, you know, a minute, up to a minute probably, and there'd be a whistle for offside or something, lose a puck or something. But as time went on, the game got longer and longer between whistles. But what happened is when it got too foggy, what they would do was everybody would get on the ice and everybody would skate around. And then, of course, the fog would start lifting and go out of the building, and then it was fine. But the people in the stands, they could see because they're looking down through the fog. But the ones in the lower level on the ice, they couldn't really see because you're looking right into that fog. So they really couldn't see what was going on either.
Yeah.
So anyway, when this, happened, it was really getting foggy. We were going about a minute and a half to 2 minutes without a whistle. And I couldn't see anything. Like, I couldn't even see my blue line. I had no idea. So I was down really low looking, like, to see under the fog.
Yeah.
And, like, right in a low, low crouch. And I could see the far end. I could see the legs. But that's all I could really see was legs.
Hmm.
So I could see the puck was over on my left hand, like, on the other end, be on the right-hand side for them coming down. You could see somebody the puck there, and they threw it across the ice. Another guy had the puck, and then all of a sudden, a guy at the blue line's got the puck, and who's got the puck but Bobby Hull?
Yeah.
I'm in a low, low crouch trying to see, and he took a shot, and really it wasn't that high of a shot. It was just that I was so low trying to see under this fog, and I never did see it, and it hit me in the head.
Oh, boy.
And it was lights out. I mean, I have a picture of it as we're speaking right now of when it happened.
Yeah, so just if everybody who's listening to the podcast wants to see that picture, it's on the website. It's posted beside the podcast, so you can have a look at it. And yeah, on that picture, you can see, you can describe it now, but I just want everybody to know it was there if they want to have a look at it. You describe who's all there in that picture.
Well, we got like from the left to the right on the picture, number 14 is Forbes Kennedy.
For Boston, right?
Yeah, for Boston. And then Leo Boivin's right ahead of him. And then Teddy Green's number 6. And then Bobby Hull's there right dead center looking at me.
Yep.
And then Eddie Westfall's the Bruin. And then Matt Ravage, number 6. And Bill Friday's the referee, number 9. And he's quite concerned about what happens. And that's Billy Red Hay, number 11. He played on Bobby's line. And Tom Johnson's the other guy. But, you know, just look at Glenn Hull standing out there with those pads. That's all you can see him as his pads. And he's about 10 feet away, and you can hardly see him because it's such a fog. So anyway, I got hit, and I was lights out. I mean, they had to carry me off the ice into the dressing room. And I guess we had another goalie dressed that must have, because I don't know who would play. They had to strip my pads all off to get on the sewing table. And
you're bleeding pretty bad, I take it?
Oh, yeah, I bled a lot, but they got it stopped, and kind of right on top of my head. I had no mask on, of course, you know that. And a mask wouldn't have done any good anyway, because unless it was one of these newer ones that covered the top of your head, and that's kind of where I got it, was right up above the crown of the head, and it just sliced me right down.
Yeah.
Anyway, they shaved all my hair. I did have hair in those days.
Yeah.
So they shaved my hair all off anyway. About that time, I woke up, and I'm laying there. And this guy is standing exactly like he's standing right in this picture. If you see the picture, he's standing holding a stick like that, staring at me. And I've never met Bobby Hull before. It's the first time I've ever met him. And I looked at him and I said, "What happened?" He says, "I thought I killed you." I said, "You thought?" He says, I thought I did kill you." He says, "I was worried about you." I says, "Well, are we for real, or is this, are we in heaven, or is this, are we 50, 100 years later, and this is happening, you've come to join up with me in heaven?" And anyway, it hurt. Like, my head swelled up, my eye was shut. So Milty Schmidt was our coach, and he come down, and he was so worried that didn't know what was wrong, and said, "Well, we're playing back in St. Catharines tomorrow against the Hawks," and he said, "You got to play." He said, "I don't want you getting puck shot." He said, "This is terrible." But he says, "You know what?" He says, "You'll feel good if you can get out there and play."
Wow.
The next day came, and we took a bus over to St. Kitts. It couldn't have been very far. We got over there, and I had to go out to start the game. And my eye opened up slightly a little bit. But
oh, your eye's still almost closed.
Oh, yeah. I only had, like, and I'm playing in the National Hockey League, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was so sore. If I touched it, it would... Like, it's like getting hit over the head with a hammer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so anyway, it's quite the experience for me, and that's how come Bobby and I are such good friends over the whole deal. Say, when he does come to town, he always calls me, but I've talked to Glenn Hall about this since, and he's, you're the kid that happened to. I says, yeah. He says, holy Jesus, you know what I did when I seen that? I went right over to the bench and said to my trainer, give me my mask, I'm putting the sucker on. And his only come up to the middle of his forehead, and nothing covering the top of his head, so it wouldn't have helped him at all.
No.
But he put his mask on just to have some protection in his face. So.
Wow.
It was a scary situation. I don't know who won the game. I don't remember the game or nothing because I was out like a light.
Yeah, I don't think it mattered.
I've often thought about the story we're telling right now. If my mother was alive, I wouldn't even be talking about this story because she would just be, she'd be sitting there crying the way I got hit and everything else. And she would be so worried that she would just be, yeah, she wouldn't like that. I never ever told her that ever happened.
Oh, you never did tell her?
No, I never did tell her. She never knew.
Is that right? She never actually ever did find out about that?
I don't think so, because she never knew.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
She was the protective one of the family, of course. But anyway, that's what happens.
They say that, well, I mean, it's Bobby Hull has one of the hardest slap shots in NHL history. I mean, regardless of these new sticks or anything else, everybody said he can shoot it over 100 mile an hour. That was probably a given fact, wasn't it?
Well, he is so strong. Like, you can take the guys today, and Bobby was, he was a Iron Man with the muscles. He had muscles, like he threw big bales all summer and worked cattle, and he was always in great shape when he come to training camp, and he had terrific strength. Like, he could, just so strong. But he had that big curve in his stick, and he wound up for a slapper. Boy, I'll tell you, it was moving, I'll tell you. You really had to have your eyes wide open and be ready, because it could be anywhere. He didn't really know where it was going. It could be at your head. It could be at your toes. And I remember saying to him one time about the hard shot he had. I saw him about 5 years ago, and I said to him, Bobby, did you ever, when we played against each other, did you ever shoot at my head for any reason? And he looked at me, and he says, well, probably have. I says, why would you do that? He says, well, if you're playing too good and you're winning the game 1-0 or 2-0, he says, you got to change you. So he says, the first one's right at your head, the next one's right at your toes. So you'd be straightening up when he comes down the ice, you'd be straightening up. And oh, yeah, he had a, and his shots hurt. Like, I didn't have the best pads in the world. They weren't that thick and good. Like, they're pretty well worn out. And when you got hit right on the front of the leg bone there, you could feel it. So I had to wear, depending who we played, but I'd put these little shin pads on, like a defenseman wears those, yep, little up, and I'd put those on underneath my pads just so you'd have more protection.
Oh,
that's the honest to God's truth.
Yeah, I could believe it. Did, as far as you know, did many other goaltenders do that?
I didn't know of anybody, but I did. They had shin pads there, like the referees wear those ones with no knee pad or nothing.
Yeah,
you know, those short ones, and
yep,
I would put those on just for more protection on the leg, because they couldn't afford new pads for me, so I had to wear the old pads.
I bet you most people don't realize, because back then there was no, it didn't matter what the curve was on the stick. And you were pretty good at actually asking for people's autographs and sticks back in the day. So we have a Bobby Hull and a Stan Mikita and a Gordie Howe stick. And describe the curve on these things, because there was no limit on the curve, right?
Yeah.
Describe the curve on Bobby Hull's stick.
Well, it was like a, it was a short stick, and he used to cut a notch out for his top hand so his thumb would fit in onto the shaft a little more comfortable, so it's not a, like a rectangular stick, like, you know, where it's a sharp edge. You got to cut a piece out there.
Yep.
And then you go down to the blade, and it was just a big whopper of a curve, and he had an inch and a half curve on his stick, and that was a comfortable stick for him. That's what he liked, and that's just what he used all the time.
Like, would he get a knuckleball come off of that thing, or would it be going straight?
Terrific knuckleball. See, you didn't know what was coming. If that puck was rolling when he slapped it, he would hit that and it would come and dive on you or take off up or just be fluttering in the air. And oh yeah, you didn't know what was coming. You'd be fighting it. And
they say that Bobby Hull, with his slap shot, did more to encourage goaltenders to wear a mask than anyone else.
Well, I can believe that. But you know, his brother Dennis could shoot a puck but he had the same stick as Bobby had. He came by the same place, and his brother Dennis, a little bit younger, but and he had the same stick, so he could shoot them just about as hard. But there was guys, you know, like could shoot. Makita had a really tricky shot with that big hook he had, because he was a master with that stick, and he could slice it, and it would dive on you, and just funny things like that.
I got a really interesting quote. I'm going to put it on here that I recorded from, I think it was the top 100 players, and it's actually Bobby Hull talking. So I'm going to throw it on right after this.
When I'd come around that net with the puck, I could feel them getting out of their seats. And by the time I got to center ice, they were all out of their seats. And then by the time the puck was either at the net or in the net, they were all standing and howling. I said, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to entertain those people.
Yeah, they're hollering how they wanted them. Well, he's got an athlete. I mean, it's one of those things that happened, and that those episodes happened to me.
Yeah, that's right. That was good. That was probably scary as hell, but I mean, that's why, for like a guy like you that had a career that was up and down, but that's one of the biggest reasons why you've got that close relationship with Bobby Hull. I'm sure he remembers to this day hitting you there.
He never forgot it. I saw him 2 years ago in Saskatoon at the, we honored him at Dakota Dunes.
Yep.
And he's never forgot it. As soon as he saw me, he says, how are you feeling? I said, better. He said, I was so scared. He said, I thought I killed. He said, I wow. really did. He said, I was so worried.
Yeah, that's right.
That picture you got on the on your website there, that's how he was in the dressing room standing. And he had hair in this picture too, by the way.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He has no hair now. Yeah.
That was an awesome story. That was great. So how about for next week? You'll have a chance to think about this. Why don't we get you to rank the top shooters that you faced, whether it's the slap shot, wrist shot, even some of the guys back then that had really good backhands and guys you didn't want to face on breakaways. How about we go through that list of top players that, you know, had those shots? How's that sound?
You bet. No problem. I'll have all week to think of some names. And in those days, you got to remember as a watcher, what you have a lot of people watching or listening, is that we only had six teams, so I've only got 120 players to pick from. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe there'd be a couple of guys make the list that surprise us.
Yeah, well, it probably will.
Yep. Nope, that sounds good. All right, well, thanks for that, Jackson. That was a great story.
You betcha. Well, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Well, that ends episode 7 of Jack Unmasked, where we learn why Jack has such a unique friendship and bond with one of the top NHL players of all time, Bobby Hull. If you would like to be notified of the next podcast, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, click subscribe, and you'll be notified of the next podcast, which comes out each Friday. Until we talk next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Humidity wouldn't lift and get out of there, so it just sort of sat on the ice like a fog, and I couldn't see anything. Like, I couldn't even see my blue line. Another guy had the puck, and then all of a sudden, who's got the puck but Bobby Hull? I'm in a low crouch trying to see, and I never did see it hit me in the head. It was lights out. I had no mask on, of course, you know that. I woke up and I'm laying there, and I've never met Bobby Hull before. The first time I've ever met him. He says, I thought I killed you. It hurt. Like, my head swelled up. My eye was shut. Milty Schmidt was our coach. I don't want you getting puck shot. He said, this is terrible. But he says, you know what? He says, you'll feel good if you can get out there and play. It's like getting hit over the head with a hammer. I've talked to Glenn Hull about this since, and he's, you're the kid that happened to. You know what I did when I seen that? I went right over to the bench and said to my trainer, give me my mask. I'm putting the sucker on.